City, the good news station.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. The Texas Attorney General's office says it won't fight a federal appeals court ruling that halted an execution scheduled for Wednesday evening. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals granted a reprieve just hours before condemned killer Scott Panetti was set to be executed. The Wisconsin native was sentenced to death for fatally shooting his estranged wife's parents 22 years ago in Texas. Panetti's lawyers say he's too mentally ill to be executed, and they sought the delay so he could undergo new competency tests. Airbag maker Takata insists it's not necessary, but Honda is expanding its recall of driver's side airbags to all 50 states. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is demanding that the recalls be expanded nationwide, and not just in high humidity states. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. Gatorsecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
A health official says another Sierra Leonean doctor has tested positive for Ebola, the 11th from that country to become infected. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Brima Kargbo said Wednesday that Dr. Dauda Koroma tested positive for the disease on Tuesday. Ebola has sickened more than 17,000 people, the majority in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. President Barack Obama says Russian President Vladimir Putin is improvising himself into a nationalist, backward-looking approach to Russian policy. Obama says he's not optimistic that Putin will change his mindset anytime soon. He says Putin's actions are scaring the heck out of his neighbors and that Russia is completely isolated internationally. Authorities say 7 baggage handlers are charged with stealing electronics, jewelry, and other items from checked luggage at New York's Kennedy Airport. The thefts occurred between March 2012 and June of this year. This is the USA Radio Network.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. It was an emotional scene on the floor of the U.S. Senate on Tuesday as the topic of domestic violence in the National Football League took center stage. Our Cub Buning has this.
In the wake of the Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson domestic violence cases, former Pro Bowl defensive back and current executive of the league, Troy Vincent, felt this topic hit almost too close to home.
I relate to the 20 million victims, survivors of domestic violence, sexual abuse in every community across our great nation.
Vincent admitted that as a child, he watched his own mother physically beaten in front of his own eyes. Senators on the floor on Tuesday felt compelled to join the discussion as well, including the Republican from Nevada, Dean Heller, who puts most of the blame right with the NFL.
It's very clear to me that getting these players back on the field was more important than addressing incidences of sexual assault, domestic violence, or even child abuse.
Rice has been reinstated by the league, but is yet to be picked up by a team, and Peterson is appealing his suspension by the league. I'm Cub Buning.
The first test flight of NASA's Orion spacecraft this week marks a critical step on humanity's journey to Mars, agency officials say. Orion is scheduled to blast off tomorrow at 7.05 a.m. Eastern from Florida's Cape Canaveral Air Force Station on an unmanned mission called Exploration Flight Test 1, EFT-1. This is USA Radio News.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
You may not be. Am I on? Wait a minute. You didn't sneak up on me at all? Did we do the precursor advertising thing?
Yes. I didn't even hear that.
I didn't hear it.
That's because maybe you weren't listening. You were talking.
You know, folks, first of all, I want you to know this is the Pastor Tom Hour.
No, it's not.
And his special guests are Joe Martech and Vince Rizzino.
We are very pleased to be his guests.
And we are very pleased to be his guests because I would never pick on Pastor Tom except for that free wedding you're going to pay, you know, for that young lady down in Palm Beach County.
Oh, is that right?
You remember that one? Mm-hmm. Didn't you agree to do that?
Yes. You want me to send the invoice to you?
Joe needs a write-off.
You didn't say it was free.
I said no. We were going to actually do the wedding at the studio.
Oh,
see, right. So that is free, and you were going to officiate because you're free. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then I provide the refreshments. I'm going to go down to McDonald's and get six Cokes and
big spender.
Were you here, Vince, when we did this show?
No, I must not have been because it doesn't sound familiar.
Let me, for those of you that have not heard this before, this is the Team Martech Hour. And Team Martech is a group of local professionals that are not young. Unfortunately, I'm the oldest one in the group. And we started doing these radio... I know. I got both of these old guys here nodding their heads saying, well, you're not kidding.
Boy, it makes me feel young.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. And Burl Ives over here, that's called Pastor Tom, you know. So anyway, starting 10 or 11 years ago, the concept was pretty simple. I'm a financial advisor. I'm called a stockbroker. I'm a securities principal, which means lots of licenses. And I've got about 900 clients, basically here on the Treasure Coast, but in 13 other states, because people move and referrals. And people, clients of mine, are going to ask me questions that I don't know the answer to. So literally, if you are a credible professional of any ilk, you line yourself or align yourself with other people that are credible professionals that you trust. Mm. Now, major word. You hear that word, trust? So what I was looking for always are people that were not young. Well, that was easy. A lot of old people in Florida, especially old CPAs, they were easy to come
and
by.
And older financial advisors.
Yes, sir. So then the concept was this. I wanted nobody new in business. I wanted people that had been in business a long time, because if people are going to make mistakes, usually they do it in their youth, and there's a learning curve. But once you've gone through school and then you've been in practice for 10 or 15 or 20 years, normally you've weathered the storm, and at that point, you're very, very cautious about protecting what you've built and your reputation. So started off with Joe Martech, financial advisor, with Greg Fasula, attorney. The reason I had to have an attorney, folks, because one of the first questions I ask every new prospect or suspect is, are you ready to die? Now, as Pastor Tom would let us know, there are two answers to that. One, financially, no. Yes, with God. Well, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have a double mission when we hit that door. And it's been a more interesting house when we got a double mission than it has when a single one. Anyway, when I say, are you ready to die? That means if you're an attorney, you say, have you done your estate planning? Now, if Dan was here, he wouldn't like that accent because it wasn't enough
the
Polish.
Estate.
So, which simply means this. Do you have a will or a trust? So what I had to have was an attorney that, back again, I could trust, had integrity, had experience. But what I wanted more than anything was an attorney that was user-friendly. Now, you know, that's like having a good bedside manner. Have you ever noticed, folks, that most attorneys are a bit arrogant? A bit pretentious?
Just a bit.
Can you believe that, Vince?
Very minor portion of them.
You know, they're like, kind of remind me about retired pastors. You know, they oh, wait a minute. Forget that line.
Be careful. Be careful now. Remember, he's producing this thing.
He's producing this thing. He might shut us off any
exactly.
second, right?
You could just flip the switch.
Flip the switch.
You call this retired?
yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah, when you only work 7 days a week. You don't work 7 days a week.
No, but
he
there
has been
well,
the
sometimes
you have.
I have.
You have. You get your periods of time. You do work all the time.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, so the concept was to find people that I could trust and that my clients wouldn't be offended by, and that became a big thing because finding an attorney that was patient, understanding, not arrogant, not pretentious, it took me a while. And Greg Fasula, as Pastor Tom knows and Vince knows, is one of the very few people I know that's an attorney I'd like to have as a next door neighbor. He's just a flat good guy.
Now, I had to go see him on Monday morning.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
And he's just a great guy to go deal with.
He's just a phenomenal guy. And he was on the radio show up in Port St. Lucie today because nobody else would show.
There must be something going on with that, Joe.
Well, there's half-hour shows because they're doing Christmas Kids, so we have a half a show for 5 or 6 weeks, which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so then Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Well, that was critical, too, because 90% or 90-some percent of the people I talk to have homes or businesses or both. And one of the questions always comes up about, and especially in the last few years when the price of homeowners insurance was doubling and tripling and people were getting non-renewed. So I had to find, quote, an independent insurance agent. The reason independent was if they work for one company and a company said your history, that agent was history. So you have to find an independent that has multiple companies. And then I had to find one with a long time in business, back to credibility again and integrity. And Dan's only 35 years in business. And in my opinion, there's not a better independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. So then I had to have, can you believe this? Somebody that I could talk to about taxes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was really the hard part.
You mean one of them CPA guys?
Yeah, one of them CPA guys. You know, accountant types, you know, the guys.
Those nerdy guys.
You know, the guys that have those things that the beads on it that they slide across. And it's not a rosary.
Those abacuses he's talking about.
Abacuses. You remember?
I remember.
You're an old guy.
Right? I'm old. I remember those.
Anyway, the CPA was critical because when I talk to clients, a lot of times, Vince, let me give you an example of what happened to me with somebody very close to me. Here's a father, has three daughters, and dad is not so young, and the three daughters are not so young either, and dad decides to give each one of the girls $250,000 worth of stock. While he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so
while he's alive. Now, that's a key point.
Oh, big deal.
While he's alive.
While he's alive. So I said, no. You go back to dad and have him take it back and like you never gave it to you. Well, why, Joe? I said, because when you sell that stock, it goes all the way back to when dad bought it. But if dad gives it to you after he dies in a trust, the value of the stock is on the day he dies, and there is no tax if you sell it the same day.
No tax to the recipient,
correct. No tax to the recipient.
It does go into the estate, though, at full value.
Well, let's take the estate if it was below
$5 million.
If
it's below $5 million, you don't have an
forget
issue.
Forget that. No
if
tax.
If it's a serious high net worth person, yeah, then they'd have other issues.
He wasn't, because it's $250,000 each. But each one of these girls now had this, and I said, look it. Well, you're not going to spend it. You just change the ownership back into dad's trust. And then when dad dies, you guys get it anyway. But then you don't have to pay tax consequence. Now, dad, some of this stock he had paid $10 a share for, now it's worth $100.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a 90% or 900% gain. And now they've got to pay capital gains tax on all of that. But they would not pay one nickel if dad had left that in the trust and gave it to him when he died. So
at that level of income, more than likely they're at a 20% bracket.
Yeah.
If that's federal only. If you live in a state that has income taxes,
yeah,
it's even
worse.
Higher.
Yeah. So what happened is, literally, it could have been 50, 60, 70, 80, even up to $100,000 that they would have paid in tax on that $250,000. And if Dad had not taken it out of the trust and just kept it there and waited until he died, they would have had no tax. Well, you know how hard that is to get through to people's heads? Then, Vince.
Uh-oh.
I called up the brokerage firm.
Yeah, they didn't want to undo it.
No.
Figures.
And they said, we don't give tax advice. And I said, I'm not saying tax advice, but this is a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a no-brainer.
This is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. The rules are, this is not a gray area. This is pretty much black and white. And they said, we don't do that. And this is a pretty substantial firm. And I said, you guys should be hung. I mean, you have a responsibility to your client, right? They mm-hmm. call it fiduciary.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do. We have licenses to do what's in their best interest. And if I see a client of mine doing something that's not in their best interest, I'm supposed to tell them. Now, that doesn't mean they have to do what I'm telling them, but if it's in their best interest.
Absolutely.
You know, I've had people say, Joe, should I sell this? And I say, well, it's up to you, but if it was me, I wouldn't. And here's why. You know, and you literally go that way.
Well, some of the things I want to go through on this show, Joe, is it's year end coming up.
Yeah.
And people are doing a little bit of planning. And one of the things I want to talk about is capital gains tax planning.
For talk
the end
about
of the year. Well, you know that many people have portfolios that have losses built into them.
Sure.
They want to cash out of stocks which have high capital gains. Well, you need to, through your financial advisor, structure your sales at the end of the year to try to balance out the capital gains or capital losses. Why? Well, there's a good reason for that. When you file your taxes, if you have net losses for the year, capital losses, you're restricted to how much of that can be deducted on your tax return. Only up to $3,000 a year can be right. deducted on your tax return
so
for capital
lost,
losses.
You lost $100,000 in a bad transaction.
Right. You get to take $3,000 of it off, and $97,000 goes forward.
Yep.
And if you have no other capital gains or losses, then you get three every year. So figure
right.
out how many years it take you to use up that $100,000 loss.
Only 33 years
to use up the loss. So for those people who have huge losses, you might want to consider taking a look at your other investments with your advisor, because I can't say willy-nilly or blanketly just sell and get capital gains.
Yeah.
But if it makes sense to you economically, I would take the gains as well to offset the losses.
So let's just use an example. Let's say you bought a share of stock for $10, and now it's worth $12.
Right.
And you bought lots of shares, so you made a 20% gain, and let's say you made $200,000, but you had a $100,000 loss. You now only have a $100,000 gain.
Correct.
So it's to your benefit to look hard at your portfolio this month.
This month, before the end of the year.
Got to be done.
With your financial advisor.
Yeah.
Don't do it on your own.
Go through it and look and see if it's to your tax advantage to do it. Because if you have to pay tax on that money, and, you know, living an extra 33 years at your age, Vince.
That's terrible. I never, you know, you bring up a good point, though, Joe, because if me as an individual have losses that I haven't used when I die, guess what?
They're gone.
They're gone.
Yeah.
And they're gone forever.
Little minor thing.
But here's something else you need to consider, Joe. Tell your audience particularly for the financial side, is be careful that you don't want to run afoul of the wash sales rules.
Right.
You know what the wash sales rules are. You know for sure what
they
are. Maybe you can explain it better than me, but I can tell you what they are. You can't sell a security at the end of the year, take a loss, tax loss, and then repurchase that same security within 30 days.
Little minor side.
Within 30 days. So because the IRS says, well, wait a minute. You just sold that to take the loss. You had no intent. You know, you really, what we're trying to do is game us. Take the loss now and push the income to later.
Now, if you wait 31 days, you're okay.
Exactly.
A little minor.
So be careful with the wash sale rules, because that comes into play as well.
Now, you really got to be good at this in order to do that to start with. This is not the easiest thing in the world to do. So if you take a loss and then you buy it again, well, you don't know what the price is going to be in 30 days. But the truth is, if you just know the wash sale rule and all you do is wait 31 days, you're okay. Now, it's calendar days, too.
That's right. It's calendar days.
That makes a big difference. Not business days, calendar days.
It's calendar days. But it's something that some people go foul. I had a client last year that happened to. We wound up, luckily, in just barely doing it, we elected to be a trader in securities. Now, that's something else. You got a lot of people out there who decided that they want to make a lot of money trading securities.
Oh, boy.
And they become day traders.
Little minor side effect. How to lose all your money. It's a nice thing.
Well, guess what? As a trader of securities, as a trader, a recognized trader, and you got to elect under the law to be a trader.
Right.
You get to take losses on your trading activities currently. Don't have to wait to sell the securities.
Now,
you have to mark to market, call a mark to market at the end of the year.
Talk about being a trader. How do you differentiate between a trader and a non-trader? How does the government?
Well, the government basically looks at your history and whether you're doing it on a regular and continuous basis.
There you go. Okay? So you've got to show that you're actually making buys and sells on a regular basis.
You can't do it this month and then 6 months from now you do another trade. You're not a trader. If you're doing it on a daily or a regular basis and a continuous basis, then you got to elect the trader status. You know, you got to elect to be able to take those deductions.
So is that a separate form?
It's a separate form.
So now you've opened yourself up to the infernal saying, I'm a trader.
That's right. You're telling them in advance, and you got to do it in advance. You can't do it for the year that you're in.
Uh-huh.
You got to do it for the year coming.
Well, but also that's kind of a gift, because if I know that if I don't do that, I'm going to have a problem. So now I just need to make a trade at least once a month.
Or whatever. Regular and continuous.
Regular and continuous.
That's a case-by-case kind of a judgment call.
Don't you hate that, the rules the government has? Let's don't make it once a month or twice a month.
It's
Let's just
regular
make it regular and continuous.
So that isn't open to interpretation.
I know.
But this client thanked me profusely for recommending it to him, because he had huge losses. He had bought Apple at $700 a share or something like that at that time when it was hitting its highs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it took a dump down to about $400 and something a share. So
right.
He had some huge losses.
Yeah, boy.
And we took the losses because he had made the election. He was considered a trader. He had already told the IRS this was what he was doing.
Okay,
and so we got to take the losses. Now think what would have happened if he didn't make that election.
Yeah, boy.
He would have had all those capital losses carried forward.
I say, you know, and let's say you're 50 years old and you got 33 years to go. That means you got to live to be 83.
Well, what if the next year, if he had a $100,000 loss this year, next year, you know, takes $3,000, he's got $97,000 hanging out there. Next year, he has a $200,000 gain.
He can offset the $200,000 against the carryover losses.
The $97,000. So he could carry that off.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you can carry forever, practically.
But he wouldn't have to carry it out for 33 years if he had a gain the next year.
The only minor problem is you have to have the gain.
Well, here's the problem. From a real practical point of view, if you're trading and you're losing that kind of money, your chances are you're not going to be around very long in the trading business.
All of a sudden, you're out of money. Little minor side effect.
Yeah, because a lot of them.
It's happened a ton.
And this particular client, Joe, was borrowing money on margin.
Oh, Lordy.
To buy this stuff. Now, you know what that means, audience? That means that you're borrowing money to invest in the stock market.
Yeah, and guess what? Brokerage firms actually will loan you money, and they might even loan it to you at 3%. You know, but let me tell you something. I've known some people that were
they'll loan you the money, and then they'll make a recommendation of what to buy, and you lose money.
You ever see that? There might be a conflict of interest there.
And it's worse than this, guys.
And that's legal.
It's legal,
but
it's worse than what you might think, because they can do what's called a margin call. What does that mean? If the equity in your positions is not enough to support the loan, give me another $100,000. You got to make up that loss in the market.
It's. I'll tell you what. The people that do margins successfully, these are substantial people. Substantial. And I'm talking they're worth multi-millions usually. And they have a very sophisticated a very complicated, sophisticated portfolio, and they are actively trading, and maybe not themselves, but through a broker, and the broker's got a good track record. Now, there are guys out there, some of the high rollers, some of the big, big companies that are making 40 and 50% a year. Some of the hedge funds make a lot of money. Not all. Some make it this year, some make it, some they don't. But you know, Vince, I don't have even one client, because this is not me. This is when people are talking like this, I'm the wrong guy. My clients are mostly retired, or could be or should be, and they're not looking to speculate.
That's
and if
true.
They are, they might have a small portion. Let's take some risk with it. The rest of it is called hay.
Well, this guy is not a young man.
Yep.
He's probably in his 60s. He had a small business, wasn't doing well with that business, and decided he was going to take this route to supplement his income.
Yep.
He probably believed this, the shows you see on TV late night, that you too can make money at this.
Yeah.
Well, we need to remind everybody, this is a call-in talk show today, and if you have questions about finance and you would like to call the station, the number here is 888 888- 221-8990. And Joe and Vince here today, they'll be glad to answer a question. If you have one, give us a call. That number again, 888-221-8990.
Hey, go ahead, because I got a few more things I want to talk about.
We appreciate your call. I was going to interject just the subject while we're going, but we'll keep doing this back and forth a little bit. I had a client of mine that called me this morning, and he said, Joe, my daughter called me up, and she wants me to gift money to her and the kids and her husband. And I said, really? And he says, yeah, tell me about it. And I said, I hate to tell you, but you're not worth over $5 million. And he says, what's that got to do with it? And I says, a lot. This is a big deal. Now, let's just say you have a $10 million estate. Not many of us have that problem.
No.
And you die. The government says, okay, the first
5.3 at this point.
Million dollars. There's no inheritance tax, also called the death tax. But every dime over that you leave is subject to up to
45% right now, yeah.
Big number.
Mm-hmm.
Percent tax. So you leave $5 million times 50% is $2.5 million minus five. Mm-hmm. Forget that, but it's a lot of money.
Yeah, for rule of thumb, half of it is gone.
So, but let's say you got a $6 million estate and you've got five kids and four grandkids or nine grandkids. You're allowed to give $15,000. Am I right with 15?
$14,000 and change, but 15
okay, almost 15,000 mm-hmm. a piece each year. And there's no gift tax. There's no tax, and it comes off of their estate. But you can't give more than $15,000 or $14,000, whatever it is, per child.
It's the flip side of that, because when you give it, it's not there to be counted. So,
right.
But the key is giving it, Joe, is that not only can you give up to that $14,800, but you can also split the gift so that if you can give your children a gift and your wife can give the children
exactly.
a gift. So in effect, you're doubling that. So yeah. You give $28,000 to each kid.
So literally, you can lower your estate so in case you die. When you die, if you can get that estate down below the threshold of paying estate taxes, you've done something legal and you've helped the kids and the family. Okay, so he calls me up and I said, guess what? He says, you're not worth over $5 million. You could give me every dime you've got today, and I have no tax, and you got a loss because you're not going to have any money, but there's no tax to anybody. So I said, giving all this money to your daughter right now won't do you a bit of good, and it won't make any difference to you except she will spend it all, and you'll probably be upset. So, but she was talking to somebody in the bank.
Oh, be careful.
When you talk to somebody in the bank. And talked about gifting, because there's tons of people that are under the conception that used to be $10,000 a year, that they were not allowed to give more than that because of tax consequences. Mm-hmm. Well, the rule is this: if you have an estate over the threshold of estate taxes, then that's all you can deduct as part of your estate.
Yeah, and then you get taxed pretty high, but there's a lot of methods and ways to reduce that estate, Joe.
Yeah,
We could go through those.
Well, I've got a question for you.
Oh, we got a call coming in.
Oh, you got a call?
Got a call.
I didn't hear the call.
We're going to do it. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Oh, hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I have got a question. If somebody was wanting to get in to become a financial advisor, what advice would you have to give them?
That's a good question. My CPA, Vince Rosino, said over here, forget it.
I was only teasing. I did say forget about it. But no. Joe, explain to her, that it's a very good profession, but it's getting scrutinized more and more.
Well, here's the number one thing that happens. Now, there's rules to get into everything. First of all, in order to become a financial advisor, and let's call this a securities representative, you then have to pass what's called national securities tests. Now, they have different numbers for them, but one is, let's just take a Series 7, allows the person to sell stocks, bonds, mutual funds, most publicly traded or traded items that you can buy and sell in the stock market. You with me so far?
Yes.
Okay, so that's number one. Now, in order to even take that test, you have to have a sponsor. So what you need to do is to find somebody that's already in the business that will sponsor you to let you then take that test. Now, also, because it's a federal type of thing, you have to have fingerprints done, you can't have a criminal record, etc. And once you get the license, that means you now are credentialed enough to go to work for a broker dealer. Now, broker dealers are like Merrill Lynch or Smith Barney, you know, the names that we all hear. Wachovia Securities, there's all kinds of different names. Mine is Centaurus Financial. There's like, oh, 500 or 600 different brokerage firms in America.
Okay.
But that's still no guarantee you're going to make any money. However, if you can actually sit with somebody like me and talk and say, hey, here's what I want to do, here's how I can do it, put a plan together, it can be done. And it's a very, very rewarding field. One of the things that happens is you can do good things for people by making them more secure, by making them a decent amount of money, and you get paid to do that. And it's a wonderful, wonderful business. The downsides on it, and some of these things are good. The government has scrutiny like crazy, and even though there's crooks out there, and there always will be, you really, really, really have to walk the tightrope very carefully, and that's good. So I guess the thing that I'm trying to say is that if you know somebody or if it's something you want to do, the easiest thing to do is to talk to me off the air, and I would counsel you on what would happen and give you an idea what would happen. Now, one of the movies, and I forget what his name was, but an actor was on Wall Street, and he went to work for a firm as a not a paid person. And he had to work for a year without getting paid.
An intern.
Intern. Mm. And he didn't get paid for a whole year and almost starved to death and lost his wife. And, I mean, it was living in a, you know, but anyway.
That was with Will Smith. I saw that movie.
Thank you very much. So what happened is that big firm on Wall Street, they didn't want anybody, and they wouldn't pay him until they proved that they could be good at what they did. So that's a bit of a stretch from what is reality. But the reality is this. In Florida here, like right now, Joe Martek is a financial advisor with all kinds of licenses and state and federal and all that stuff. And I've been doing it for a long, long time. But you don't start at the top and work your way down. You start at the bottom and work your way up.
Contrary to popular demand.
Yeah, right. But if it is something you'd like to spend more time talking about, I'd be glad to talk to you about it off the air and counsel you a bit. Because I have had a couple of other people. But the key thing is this. Almost nobody is going to pay you any money or very little money unless you can bring to the table lots of prospects that can make you both money. Am I answering this thing well enough for you?
Oh, perfectly.
Okay.
I think you're setting the expectation for what would happen if I were to choose that as a career.
Yes. Now, there are people that make astronomical amounts of money. And you read about them, you see movies about them, all kinds of stuff. And there are people that make extremely good livings, very legitimately doing the right thing for people. You happen to be talking to one. He says, wait a minute.
He says that humbly.
He says humbly, right. Humbly. Wait a minute, I'm reaching around patting myself on the back.
He's breaking his arm there, caller.
Well, Joe, it's interesting that this question came up. My daughter-in-law just graduated with her second degree in finance from the University of North Carolina,
right.
Moved back to Florida, and she was offered a job with a brokerage down here to be a financial planner.
Right.
She was going to their training session, which is going to last about 6 months.
Right.
She doesn't get paid.
I know.
She's got to be trained for about a six-month period of time with no pay. She had to drive from West Palm down to Miami.
Right.
And then Wachovia called and offered her a job. She took it.
Well, what happened? No,
because she wasn't going to be paid, and she was, you know, for 6 months.
I think that's a little bit short-sighted on the part of the brokerage.
Some of them.
But they should subsidize some of your education.
Well, sometimes they do. Now, here's caller. Let me just, you know, while we're talking about this subject, if, like, banks. In fact, I hired a young man one time from Denver, got a Series 7, college educated, came to work for me, but he had no memory.
Oh.
I mean, he couldn't tell you what happened yesterday. So I said, you have to go to work for a bank because you can ring the bell at 5 o'clock and walk out the door and you don't have to go. And going to work for a bank is not a bad way to get started once you have the licenses.
Oh, if you're going for a bank, yeah.
So
he's talking about working for a brokerage firm, right?
Yeah, well,
the
brokerage firm, you know, if you ever walk into a bank and they have this guy sitting in the bank and you think he's a banker, but it says on the thing that he does securities, the bank gets a portion of the commission, but it's not a banker. It's, you know, but The key thing is this. If it's something you're really interested in, you call the radio station back and they'll give you my office number. Or if you're at home, are you at home right now or are you in a car?
Actually, I just arrived at my home, but so I have pen and paper in hand. If you wanted to give me a number, I would take it.
I'll give it to you. This is my office number, and it's 772-229-0114.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You would call and talk to my lady, Nikki, and tell her you talked to us on WCNO. And my Pastor Tom says, Joe, the reason you're on this show is to help people. I don't care what you say. You better help people, right? Pastor
That's
Tom?
Right. Amen.
So any way I can help you, I will.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you. I am considering going into the field, and I wanted to, it's best, I think, to talk to somebody who's seasoned like yourself and so that you can get a realistic perspective of what it's really like.
Well, that's a very good statement.
And what's needed.
Hey, basically, you're talking to a well-seasoned citizen.
He's ready to be baked.
Ready to be baked,
well, thank you so much. And I will give Nikki a call, and hopefully we can chat a little bit longer.
You got it. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, have a good day. Bye-bye.
I like that. Well seasoned. Shake and bake.
Shake and bake, right.
He's ready to be baked.
1-888-221-8990.
I've got a question about something that you were talking about, the gifting that, right, you know, right. That they give to their children. Right. Do they are they limited on who they give that funds to?
No.
Well,
no.
So, because at the end of the year, a lot of people may be thinking about charitable giving.
You can give to whomever you want. Well, with the charities, make sure that they're legitimate 501c3 charities so you can get a tax deduction for it, for those things. Mm-hmm. We're talking about giving where you don't get a tax deduction for the giving, but it's quite the opposite. If you give too much, you're taxed yourself. So
Yes. So
just be careful with the giving. And one further thing about the giving, if you're going to give away something, give away highly appreciated securities. If you're going to give away security. So if you want to give your children a security and said, okay, hey, gift to them those that have the highest potential for gain.
Point is that, but I guess the question is too, now this is ignorance here, you ready? So I'm worth $10 million and I'm not, but I sure would like to be. And I want to give away this $15,000 a year each. Can I give that to anybody? Doesn't mm-hmm. have to be a relative.
No.
Doesn't have to be a friend. Nobody. Anybody. I can
right.
give away 20 a year, 30, 40, 50 of those.
You can, as long as it doesn't exceed the $14,000 per person.
But if they were wanting to give it to a charity, it would be handled differently.
It's differently because what you give to a charity becomes a tax deduction potentially to you.
Mm-hmm. And but there's no limit on that, is there?
Yes. Usually it's 50% of your adjusted gross. There is a limit as to how much of a deduction you can get.
Okay.
It's depending on your income.
You can, not a limit on how much you can give, but how much you can deduct.
Exactly. There's a difference between the gifting and the charitable giving. Which is really a
and
tax
any
effect.
Charitable gift over $5,000 has to be reported to the IRS.
Yes, you do have to report it separately on a form. There's a separate form that's filed that you'd have to list the organization, their federal ID number, and the fair market value. And if it's over $5,000, you got to get an appraisal. So be careful with that.
Unless it's cash.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's no
problem with cash.
I don't know. Sometimes you might need an appraisal on your dollar.
Hey, yeah, pastor, right. I got to get into the pastoring business. This $5,000 in cash stuff.
No, no.
1-888-221-8990. Okay, Mr. Rizzino, CPA. By the way, Vince, you know, he's got a couple more credentials. Besides the fact he's old, you know, he used to teach at a university that I can never remember.
It's a state university, Old Westbury, New York.
Very good, thank you. And he also is a...
Not Columbia.
That's the one I remember. And it's not New York Institute of Technology.
No, it wasn't New York State Institute.
Because
they don't have any
CPA. Anyway, and he's also a forensic engineer, which is another credential, which
CPA.
Means... That's right, you're not an engineer.
Not an engineer.
No, I'm talking about my son-in-law. A forensic CPA means he can testify as an expert witness. He's recognized in a court system. So when you're talking to Vince about a new business, an existing business, about taxes, how you set up a business, how the tax deductions can go, it's a man with credentials.
Thank you, Joe, for mentioning that, because I tend to be very modest about those things. And so I don't really brag
unless his wife's around.
That's right. I don't brag on that, but yeah, that's true.
It's a big deal to me.
And that helps for people, Joe, who particularly the lawyers out there, because they get they get a lot of cases like this for litigation. But we get involved in stockholder disputes. We get involved in marital affairs and settlements of divorces.
Oh, you get involved in marital affairs.
Oh, yes, I do. But not personal. But there is, you know...
Pastor Tom, he needs some counseling here.
Our skills come into play here because we're trained to be analytical. We're trained to take the big view. And we're also very detail-oriented. So it's yes, I agree with you. I went into that field and specialized in it because I thought I could give the benefit of my years of experience to the litigators.
1-888-221-8990. Now, we got a couple more members of the group that we didn't talk about yet. One is Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's a realtor.
Superb.
Who is the hardest working person that I personally know, period, who, when she says she's going to do something, does every time. She follows through. She calls back. She does the thing she wants. And she works in conjunction quite often with Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who... I'm telling you, folks, if you're going to buy a house or sell a house, you need to at least talk to these people on the phone, because these are people that are extremely experienced, very credible. You couldn't get Ms. Victoria Lloyd to lie if you tried. I mean, she just can't do it. This girl is straight arrow, and she's just one of the better people you'll ever do business with.
Well, you know, Joe, just to interrupt you on Victoria, she's absolutely very brilliant in what she does. I mean, she came to my office about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We were talking about another matter. And I asked her about a personal thing. I'm trying to rent office space. And she came up with a couple ideas for me that were right on the money, so
nice.
To speak.
Good.
And she's just very good at what she does. And she sees the picture. She sees it immediately and goes right at it. Says, okay, this is what you need to do. And here's how we're going to do it.
And what you know, there's people, I know you'll have a hard time believing this, that don't always tell the truth in their real estate business. I know. It's hard to find out.
Do you ever see any real estate brokers?
Or they only tell half the truth.
They never lie, Joe.
Never. No such thing. Well, you know, a lot of people, in fact, I knew one young lady, she went and got her licenses and got real estate and everything, and she went to work for this one broker. And I said, before she did, I said, you need to just talk to Ms. Victoria. Just talk to her. Well, she never did. Well, this girl, young girl, very, 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 very honest person, very good person. Well, what did the broker teach her? First of all, you just get a listing. The people want to list it for $200,000 and it's only worth $150,000, you just take
the
listing.
That's right, take it.
And then what we'll do over the next 6 months, we will whittle them down. So what you do is mislead them. And you know what? She quit. And rightly so. But the sad thing was, she got with a broker that used that technique, which is not what you call a good technique.
I've been confronted with that technique.
Of course.
For everything you sell. I don't care if it's selling a car to a broker to sell anything. They're going to tell you can get the world for it just to get you in the door.
Get you
and
in the door.
And then once you're their client, then they say, oh, wait a minute. Remember, we thought it was 200, but the market's changed since then.
Yeah, right.
In the last month, it's changed. I mean, I think you got to lower the price.
What happens is they start off with a lie and then compound it by keep lying. And it's a very sad thing to do. You're not.
Because it hurts you as the seller if you're trying to sell your home. It ties up your time. It ties up your finance.
It could delay a month or two.
Cost you a lot of aggravation and a lot of money, too.
Well, the bottom line is.
Especially if you need to sell that house quickly.
I think the most important thing when we were putting this group together, and every single one in our group looked at each other person and says, hey, the critical part is integrity. That's the critical part. The rest of the stuff is not as important, but it's important. Credibility is important. Experience is important. But integrity, are you doing the right thing for people? That's number one. And you know that, and Pastor Tom, in defense of you, which I hardly ever do, this radio show has been a really wonderful experience for all of us because we've been able to help some people that.
And I got to meet a wonderful man, Pastor Tom. Thank you.
When did you meet him? Oh, this guy.
But dude, Joe, before we
how
get
much
too
do
far
I owe you for that?
No, I do want to try to get a couple more year-end planning tips out there for people because it's important. One of the things is medical.
Okay.
You know that this year and last year, the IRS in their infinite wisdom decided to raise the threshold of the amounts that you can deduct for medical to 10%. What does that mean? If you make $100,000 a year, you have to have an excess of $10,000 in medical expenses in order to deduct $1.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. So the reason why I say that is because some people might find that they have an option to spend down or to spend the money on medical, pay medical expenses. Some people split it, you know, half, you know, they may do $8,000 this year if they're making $100 and $2,000 next year and get nothing.
Right.
Or whatever, 8 and 12 or 8 and 10, whatever the number is. The point is you want to consolidate it all into the current year to take advantage of that threshold.
As much as you possibly can.
So you can deduct something.
Right.
So I encourage your clients to get out there, take a look at what you owe, take a look at the plan when you're going to disperse it. Because it's on a year-by-year basis.
How's the Affordable Care Act going to affect people this year?
Well, let me tell you this, Pastor Tom. I've not heard people... Okay, let me put it to you this way.
He's trying to be gentle.
I'm trying to be gentle about it. People who are, let's call middle-income earners, are getting hit hard with the Affordable Care Act. I've heard clients...
As far as...
In terms of premiums. The premiums for the similar coverages have gone up anywhere from 50 to 100% from the prior year. That's been my experience with my clients. Now, there are certain people, that's why I concentrate on the middle income people. The lower income people tend to benefit more from the Affordable Care Act than the ones in the middle or the upper. Now, the upper income people, for them, it may not be as much of a deal for them.
What about penalties for people, you know, in the year? Well, someone year, did not purchase the Affordable Care Act. They don't have
year,
health insurance.
The penalty's not so bad. It's $95, I believe, last time I checked, per person. Plus, it's based on income. It could increase from there, depending on how much income you have. So it's not a fixed number. It gets really crazy, though, in another year or two, because it goes up to $500-$600 or more.
It keeps going up.
And it
each
keeps
year.
Going up each
but
year.
But even if you the paid penalty. If you paid $500 a year penalty,
but it might be cheaper be, than
that, that's
than
less
the
than 1 month premium.
Yeah.
Yeah, but keep in mind, unless you're very young, you're rolling the dice with the health care, because if you don't have coverage.
The key thing, and this comes, soapbox. Obamacare cannot work. It will not work. It doesn't work. It needs to be changed.
I was trying to be nice, Jim.
I know you are. We've gone through classes on this. Vince and I both have. I've sat through them twice, and just to get very frustrated, because under the system, let me tell you, first of all, I am not a Democrat, but I'm extremely impressed that Obama got it passed. I'm extremely impressed, because every other president's tried to and nobody could, and he got it passed. Now, is it any good? No. That's another opinion. The key thing is this. Now that it's in place, my opinion is, over a period of time, it will get better. It will get better. It can't just stay into the system it's in, because the system that it's in doesn't work.
And I don't see how it can get better financially, Joe, because in the end, the simplistic view of this is, when you increase, you bring into the fold 30 million more people, somebody's got to, now they haven't yet, but that was the plan. Bring in 30 million uninsured,
right?
Bring them in. But if there, somebody's got to pay for that.
Well, guess what? There comes the solution. Somebody's got to pay for that. Have you ever noticed how this system works? Dollar in, three out. Government can print all the money it wants. Not a problem.
Well, what does that do to the rest of us?
But the rest of us have a bit of a problem. Okay. Have you noticed that people over 65 have Medicare?
I noticed that.
And have you noticed that everybody on Medicare is happy?
Yes, they are.
Because it's a...
For now.
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful program. Now, it's not free, because they paid into it all their working years.
And they pay premiums.
And they pay $110, give or take, a month into it. Then on top of that, they either get a supplement to pick up what Medicare doesn't pay.
Make a copay.
Or a copay or an HMO. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, if you're 65 or 70 and you had to go out and buy similar insurance, you'd be paying a couple $1,000s a month. And I mean $2,000 per person per month.
Right.
So... And I had my conservative friends that say, oh, this is a terrible thing. It's no good. And I said, Let me tell you right now, Florida would be empty if it wasn't for Medicare and Social Security. And all of us, me included, would be living with our kids, because old people, we have more health problems than most people. Social Security gives people forced savings, which a lot of people don't have the discipline. So I'm not against these programs. I want to see Obamacare morph into Medicare for everybody in America, and what they have to do is increase payroll taxes.
Right.
Means, Pastor Tom, out of your paycheck has to come more money every single month, you lucky devil, you. But what will happen is, you don't have to buy health insurance. So in effect, you might have been paying $500, $400, $300.
Wait, back up.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy health insurance. I like the sound of that.
If you have Medicare.
Well, yeah. Can I follow your thought there, Joe?
Yeah.
You know, the reason why that works is, or would work,
yeah,
and why I don't know why they didn't structure it this
exactly
way, because now what they're doing is, you know, they structured it like Social Security,
right,
meaning that they were hoping to get a whole bunch of young people to buy into the program, even though they don't statistically don't use it.
Yeah.
They wanted them to pay a premium, and that was going to help the people on the other end, the seniors and the others who use more of it. So it was sort of the younger people, working people, paying for the older people who are retired.
But you know,
it doesn't work for Social Security.
Well,
they're running out of money. I would think makes them think it'll
right
work for
now,
this.
If you're a young person and you're looking at paying a penalty of $95
plus,
that's okay.
But for this year,
that's better than $300
year
a month.
That's, yes, but, true.
Yeah.
For this year, it's true.
But that young person may get it for $300 a month. But, you know, some of the people have told me that, you know, they're looking at plans, you know, to get comparable insurance to what they had through their company. It's going to cost them over $1,000 a month.
Oh, yes, sir.
The key with it is the system under Obamacare is not working, won't work. And I'm hoping that this new Congress, after this whole thing shakes out, and maybe the new president, whoever it is, will come to a realization it needs to be changed. Now, already, Obama has admitted he's open to change in the system. Let's make it work. And as one of the, whether he meant it or not, it's not important. The bottom line is, under the system it is today, it won't work. And when people were all upset about Medicare coming in, all of a sudden, it's one of the greatest systems in the world for old people. Well, that's kind of discriminatory that only us old guys get to have this great medical system, whereas you young people.
But every month for 40 years, I've paid into it.
That's right.
That's exactly right. See, that's the other thing. It's all in the nomenclature. Entitlement.
Entitlement.
That's a favorite word, entitlement.
But it's not.
Well, it's not technically an entitlement, although I would say, heck yeah.
It's close.
I am entitled because I've been paying into this program for 45 years.
Know, every time I get my pay stub, there's a thing on there where they've deducted.
They deduct Medicare. They deduct Social Security.
Yes, that's right.
And why shouldn't you get the benefit that the government promised you?
Point
if you're
is,
paying into
if
it.
If you've paid into it your whole life.
So what happens is today, they call it a single-payer system, which means a lot of these insurance companies will be upset, and that's a pretty powerful lobby. But bottom line, insurance companies supplement Medicare, HMOs, PPOs, and supplements. They'll still be insurance companies involved, so you're not putting them out of business, but you are making a change. I just envision it happening, and I have heard a very few, but I have heard two politicals agree with me. Not that I'm the one that came up with this idea, but the bottom line is I think it's the only salvation to keep a national health care plan that's going to work.
I see the insurance companies getting affected dramatically where they'll be relegated to the role of processors of claims.
No doubt about
as
it.
As opposed to being
yes
real profitable enterprises.
Well, the key, even with these HMOs and PPOs, they're profitable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's okay. Medicare... Mm-hmm. Medicare says, hey, Pastor Tom, I'm going to give you $7,000 a year. You just take care of Joe. And if you lose money on him, it's your fault. And that's how an HMO works.
Mm.
It's a pretty good deal. So they're doing, and Medicare does a really good job, the government, at monitoring these HMOs to make sure they're actually doing the right thing for people. I'm very impressed with how much they hound me to make sure they take care of me.
I agree with you 100% that even though the pure capitalist of world would say, why are we getting involved with these things? The government shouldn't do it.
No.
My answer to that is, without the Social Security system and the Medicare system, this country would be in bad shape. At least the people, senior people would be in bad
shape.
Back again,
we'd all be living with our kids when we got old.
Yep.
I mean, because that's how it was, you know, a couple generations, five generations ago. You know, there were very few wealthy people. So what happened?
It used to be that you had grandmother, grandfather, mom,
and
dad,
kids,
extended family.
Extended families, right.
Now,
we're going back to that now.
And that might not be a bad thing because, you know, the grandparents used to watch the kids. They taught them things.
Well, if you had my dad, it was. Hey, 1-888-221-8990, 1-888-221-8990. We are a group of six different local professionals that are here to help you. And we will answer questions. We'll help guide you. We've got a storehouse, a ton of knowledge all packed into a bunch of people that have been around for a long, long time. And any way we can help people, we will. I mean,
I squeeze a couple more things in
yes,
before we go?
Yes, you can.
Something our listeners should do is look into 529 plans, particularly those grandparents out there that may want to give gifts to their grandkids. Perfect way to do it. Put it into
what
a
about the Florida
IRA.
529 plan? 529. What is that?
What about Florida prepaid?
Well, that's also a good program. I'll get back to that in a minute. Okay. The 529 basically is it's a government-sponsored program, 529 of the code, which allows you to put money into an education fund.
For your grandchildren.
For your grandchildren, or your children.
Or children.
And any increase in the value of that fund doesn't get taxed as long as you use it for education. So it's an excellent way to build up a college fund for your children, grandchildren, and then have the tax advantages of it. But the key to that is you have to use it for education.
Yeah.
Or if you're a beneficiary that you name doesn't use it, then the one after that you could name another beneficiary. There are certain ways that you can still maintain
it. But if it's not used and you cash it in, you pay the tax.
That's correct. If you don't use it for education, then you would pay the tax on the increment, whatever the gain is.
Most times it's parents or grandparents that are doing it for their children. And you got that as opposed to
Florida prepaid. That's
Florida
the other
prepaid.
Thing. Correct.
One thing with a 529 plan, you're not limited to just state schools.
Exactly.
And by the way, there's many different 529 plans.
Yes, there are. So, each state has their own.
Yes,
basically.
Yes, it's exactly right. That's how the system works.
And Florida prepaid is an excellent program you can be assured that your child or grandchild will go to Florida.
Well, guess
school?
What? When they graduate from high school and they want another $100,000 a year to go to private school and you don't have it, you say tough.
That's it. You're going to Florida State.
No.
You're going to Florida State. That's it. Not that that's bad, but that's your limitation.
UCF, if they'll let you in.
That's right. Exactly.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. Anybody that doesn't call while we're on the air, which is almost out of time, Pastor Thomas flashing. He's got these flashcards. We're the only people he gets to use them on. So he saves them for us.
He saves them for us.
That's how I remember
himself.
The count.
Anyway, it's got one on there, which is a clue.
One means one. Up. One.
No, oh, yeah. One. Oh, but it isn't one yet? You turned it over.
Well, no, I just flashed 2 minutes. You had 2 minutes. And I'm getting ready to bring up number one.
So you're holding it down, though?
Yes,
I am. It's not ready.
You've got a minute and a half.
That's like I had a friend of mine, you know, talking about that. I had a friend of mine. We pulled up at the corner, and there was a sign there that said, no turn on red. He turned around and he said, no turn on red what? Duh!
You know what he was? He was a retired pastor that's in the radio business now.
No, turn on red. What?
Anytime you want to talk to any one of us, you call the radio station. Pastor Tom or Connie will give you our numbers.
She's been very quiet out there.
Yeah, Connie's been quiet.
One call.
You're like on vacation out there.
Hey, and by the way, as Pastor Tom, next week, I think, which is next week? The 17th.
Well, today's the 3rd, so the next week.
No, 2 weeks from now is going to be. We're not going to do a Christmas Eve show, and we're not going to do a
New Year's Eve
show. Mm-hmm. But so you're going to have to keep 2 weeks from now is the best of, and I'm going to try to get the whole group in here for that show.
Okay,
and we do our holiday show.
Yeah, just tell them you're having a party with free food.
Oh, you know, that usually
that'll
works.
Bring them in.
That usually works.
Yeah,
1-888.
I learned that in church.
1-888-221-8990. Folks, we want to thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. And anybody that we can help, that's what we're here for. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you, our listeners out there.
15 seconds, we're flashing. Are we done now?
You're almost
that's
done.
That's it.
We're
God bless done. All of you.
Say goodbye. There.
Say goodbye. Goodbye, Joe.
Say goodbye, Joe.
Goodbye, Pastor Tom.
This is
Tom.
Vince. Goodbye. Goodbye, Pastor Tom.
We'll see you next
Until
week.
Next time.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114. His name is
is Jesus. He is waiting. He is calling in a whisper. And if you're listening, you can feel it. His Holy Spirit.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm